We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and reading from verse 16. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I came like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. Thank
you. Thanks, Ian. About 10 years ago, we came into the very privileged position of being able to buy our own home. We didn't plan it this way, but at the same time, my father and mother were downsizing. And so here we had a home to fill, and they had a home to empty. So we got quite a few phone calls where they rang up and said, can we give you this? And can we give you that? Well, Mum and Dad are very good at giving, and also they had some really nice stuff around. So in their downsizing, they rang up one day and said, can we give you our stressless chairs? And we were like, yeah, of course you can, because these are lovely chairs. When we ever had a family gathering, these were the chairs that people fought to get into. In fact, our spiritual leadership team meets in our home, and this is Dave Brown's chair. It might look like it's ours, but Dave Brown is on the spiritual leadership team. We all know not to sit in here because this is Dave's. But the thing is, Dad and Mum kept saying, do you want this, or can we give you that? And, you know, when people are giving gifts, gifts are to be grasped. So we ended up with two stressless chairs. For the last few months, this has been at my daughter's house because it's been a kind of a baby feeding chair in the middle of the night. So I think there's still a few milk marks. But anyway, it's by the by. We'll get it cleaned. It's only just come home. But anyway, it's very, very. I can see it's very comfortable. It's great. In fact, you all go to sleep while I have a rest as well. So, one of the ministry teams here at Fullwood is the outreach ministry team. And if they had a biblical motto, it would be what Paul says in this passage that Ian Makinson's read today, where Paul says, "I become all things to all men, so that by all means possible, I might save some." Paul says, "I might become a Jew. When I'm with the Jews, I'll be like the Jews, so that I'm relating to them, I'm getting alongside them. So there's no kind of distance between me and them, and I get near them so that I can hopefully lead them to Jesus." To those Jews who are kind of really stuck on the law, you know, they want to obey the law. When I'm with them, that's what I do. He said, that's not where I am anymore. He used to be there. He was a Pharisee, for goodness sake. He lived to obey the law. He said, that's not where I'm at now, but if I'm going to get alongside those kind of people, I need to be like them. For the people who are not Jews, what they call the Gentiles then, that's you and me. He said, I'm going to be like them. I'm going to let go of my Jewishness. I'm going to let go of the law. I'm going to get alongside Gentiles and live alongside them in a way that creates friendships, builds relationships with them. Why? Because absolutely the number one thing for me is I want to win them to Jesus. This is a stressless chair. They're actually advertising them on TV. You need to know you can't afford them. Okay? We would never, ever have dreamt of buying a stressless chair, except that the gift was given, so we grasped it. And the great thing about them is that they're just so comfortable. There's other good things about them as well. Obviously, you can lie back and you can actually tighten it and set it so you can stay in the lie back position. So if you're asleep, it doesn't kind of suddenly buckle you up like that. You just stay fast asleep. And then the other really good thing is you can swizzle. It's not so fast so that kids can have a real play on it. But what you can do is you can turn yourself away. There's a whole bunch of teenagers here. So, you know, and I know their lives are in a mess because you just have to look at the rooms. All right? Is that right? So the rooms are just a mirror of their lives. You show me a teenager with a tidy room and I'm worried. But you see, you can turn away. You turn away from their problems and you don't have to worry about them. Or maybe you're watching telly. And it's one of those horrible adverts come on. I'm not talking about, you know, B&Q. I'm talking about the charity adverts. Starving kids in Africa and, you know, clean water projects. And if you give £2 a month to this and then £2 a month to that and £2 a month to this and £2 a month to that, you're thinking, oh, no. So this chair's brilliant. You can just turn away while the adverts finish and just completely ignore them. It's good. See, Paul couldn't do that. Whilst he grasped this gift of the gospel, Paul just could not let go. And so he decided in his heart that whatever grace God had given him, whatever comfort, if you will, the comfort of salvation, the knowing that you've been saved, that you belong to Jesus, and you're with him for eternity, Paul said, that's fantastic. Paul clearly had fallen in love with Jesus. Paul had clearly come to a place where he knew he was forgiven. He knew he was clean. He knew he was right with God. And he could have said, whoa, I can sit back. I'm stressless. Doesn't matter what goes on in the world around me, shipwrecks, beatings, doesn't matter. I'm right with God. I'm stressless. I'm safe. But he wouldn't live like that. He couldn't live like that because there was something here where he said, I've got to become all things to all men so that somehow, by all means possible, I might save some. And that became his motto, or one of his mottos, for sharing the good news. That's there in that verse 22, right in the heart of the passage that Ian read. It's also up on screen as well in a minute. not changed, Nick. Ah, there we are. No, and we're stuck. So that became kind of Paul's motto. I become all things. No, we'll stay there now. So it became all things to all men. But then I guess a question for us to ask this morning about when we share good news is, are we content or are we compelled? See, I want to tell you about it. If you can ever afford one, by the way, some of you are thinking of getting married, put it on your wedding list. They are great chairs. I mean, I know because my dad, he's tried other chairs than Stressless. He's gone down market and doesn't like them. And then he rang up one of my brothers and said, do you want one of these down market chairs? And I'm thinking, yes, I've got the Stressless. He's got the down market one. So when you go and visit Dad now, Dad sits in the Stressless and we sit in the down market one. So I just want to tell you, they are fantastic chairs. I never could be a salesman, but if I could sell you a Stressless chair, yeah, and you're welcome during the response time. If you want to come and sit here, you're welcome. Or even afterwards when nobody else is looking, just slide in and just get a feel for how comfortable these chairs are. Paul couldn't. There was something in Paul that whilst being in Christ, knowing Christ loved him and being in love with Christ, having his life completely changed by Christ, there was something in him that wasn't enough. He just used this word, I'm compelled. In 2 Corinthians, he said, I'm compelled to tell about Jesus Christ. So a good question for us this morning when it comes to the idea of how far will we, dare we, should we, could we share God's love with other people? How far are we just content that we've got a ticket to heaven? Went on the train the other week and had an e-ticket. The ticket was that big. I mean, normally they give you a credit card size one, don't they? But if you get an e-ticket, it's that big. And you can't fit that in your pocket unless you screw it up. But you've got your ticket, your e-ticket to heaven. Are you happy with that? Or is there something more? Is there something in me that compels me to go beyond where I'm at now? Because whether we like it or not, God has put his love into our lives, not just to grasp it. He's given us it to grasp the gift, but he's given us it so that we live it out, so that we share it. He's given it, is it to grasp, but we don't grasp it like that. We grasp it to give it. That's where Paul's at in this passage. And he says, woe is me if I don't. And I do believe God's call on us, it's not just for the outreach ministry team. It's every single one of us to be in a place where we're saying, God, somehow, please use me to share your love with other people. Whilst we can be content in the gospel, right, there's got to be a holy discontent, a discomfort about sitting there enjoying it when other people stand under the judgment of God. Sitting there thinking, well, it's great to be part of Fullwood Free Methodist Church or whatever church you're a part of, and we're in the holy club and we're safe and we've got our e-ticket to heaven, and that's fine. But there's got to be something more. Individually, together, as a church, there's a challenge on us. Just like there was on the disciples. Because Jesus said, look, I'm going to be with my Father, and I'm telling you to go to tell other people and share with other people about me. And sometimes they did that absolutely brilliantly when they were overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. There were other times when God put a rocket under them. In the middle of the book of Acts, the church in Jerusalem is persecuted, and it's almost like they've got stuck. Persecution scatters them, and as they're scattered, guess what? They start telling people about Jesus, and people in Samaria and Judea and other parts of the earth begin to get to know about him. So God the Holy Spirit's designs on me and designs on you and us together is that we live with this holy discontent about not being just safe because we've got our ticket to heaven, but like Paul, woe is me. There's something wrong with me spiritually if there's not something in me that wants to preach or tell other people about Jesus. I know it's scary. Don't think I'm scared. A book that Bill Hybels wrote, a Christian leader, and I know some of you as home groups have done it, Just Walk Across the Room. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I'm okay if I know you. If I know you, I'll come and shake hands with you and have a conversation with you and, you know, talk about football or whatever it is you might be interested in. And I can do that. If I don't know you, you want to know how like a fish out of water I feel. So forgive me, if I don't know you this morning, I've come to speak to you. I've said something in my head to myself. I've said, Andrew, just walk across the room. Even in this place when I'm safe, if I'm going to talk to complete strangers that I don't know, then I have to walk across, I have to make myself do it. And what Paul says is, you know, woe is me if I don't. Because I hear this little voice, go and talk to them, they're new. Yeah, okay, Lord. Can I not just talk to somebody I know, somebody I'm safe with, somebody who isn't going to take me out of my comfort zone? And the Holy Spirit says, just walk across the room. And I'm thinking, blimmin' Bill Hybels, why did he write that book? Because it's stuck in my heart and in my brain. So if I don't know you this morning, please forgive me. And it's not because how you look. It's just the fact that you're new and I don't know you. I've got to go out of my comfort zone to say hello. It's even worse if I think I know you. And I've already done it with one person this morning and said, I know I should know your name by now, but I don't. I'm sorry. I do that all the time as well. Yeah. So I reintroduced myself to Catherine this morning. It's good. So we've got those challenges. So I'm not saying this stuff's easy. But if it's not written in our hearts, it will never be in our lives. And I guess one thing God's saying to us this morning is, let's pray and get it in our hearts. So, are you comfort conscious or mission minded? I guess that's a good question. I know I love comfort. I mean, I can sit here all day in this, watch TV, golf, football. I don't know, what do you like to watch? I don't know what you like to watch. Are you comfort conscious or mission minded? And it's easy to be laid back when people need Jesus. Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians when he said, Christ's love compels us, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died. You got that? We don't live for ourselves. So whatever this love of Christ that we enjoy, this safety in him that we have, it's never meant to keep us in a place where we're comfortable. Catherine had to go down south a few weeks ago. She went to her auntie's funeral and she decided she'd make a bit of a long weekend of it. So she was going on the Thursday morning on a train and coming back the following Monday, which meant I would have to be on my own all weekend, which I was quite looking forward to. There was some good stuff on sport over the weekend, and as long as I can watch a bit of sport, I'm happy. So Monday night, I'm sat in bed. I always read a bit of a science fiction book before I go to bed. You think I'm interested in it, it puts me to sleep. Okay, right. I always want to read 2 or 3 chapters, but half a chapter and I'm nodding off. So, all right, it's time to go to sleep. So I'm sat reading my science fiction book, and Catherine goes, I know what you should do on Saturday afternoon. You should invite that young neighbour. We've got a neighbour's there, 21-year-old son's struggling a bit. She said, you should invite him round and give him an afternoon of wood turning. And I responded with the most wonderful, gracious response that any self-respecting bloke would have said, don't you tell me what to do with my free time. And the worst thing was that as I was speaking those words in my heart, that heart admission that sometimes you don't dare let out is, she's right. She's right. Don't you tell me what to do with my free time. So there was me, all comfortable, all ready to watch a sport program, football match on the afternoon, and Catherine saying something that I know's right, that am I going to get out of my comfort zone, get off my backside, and get myself round to my neighbours and invite him to spend an afternoon wood turning with me. So I did. Didn't get to preach the gospel. It would have been good. I didn't get to tell him how I became a Christian at the age of 19 and how Jesus came into my life and how the Holy Spirit filled me and changed me and transformed me and how much 30-odd years later I still love Jesus. But I did build a deeper, better friendship relationship that I pray will go further. So basically, I got out of my chair. It's all right, I can stand it. I got out of my chair, got out of my comfort zone. I walked across the room and did what Paul says here. Christ's love compelled me. I allowed his love to compel me. Our great challenge in our prayer this year is beyond our walls. Are we going to go beyond our walls? God's call for us, every single one of us individually. And it may be simply that you are smiling and you're polite to the person on the checkout in Asda or M&S or wherever it is you go. But if we don't get this into our hearts, into our spiritual DNA, that somehow we share God's love with everybody. You know those people you ring up and they're on the phone and I don't know, every time we change insurance or the car insurance, it seems too much. And you want to say, look, will you just give me a cheaper quote for goodness sake? But you don't, because grace says, grace compels, be nice to this person, because they've probably just had 10 people being horrible. So you give them grace, because grace should compel you to be gracious. Person on the checkout needs love because love compels you to be loving. Person who's had to ring you up with something that's gone wrong needs your patience because God's peace in your life calls you to be peaceful. But then also maybe there's times when somebody says, what did you do at the weekend? Oh, I watched rugby on TV. No, actually, I went to church on Sunday. It was brilliant. Oh, right, fine. Would be great if they've asked another question, wouldn't it? But they didn't. So don't push. But if they then say, oh, didn't know you go to church. Why do you go to church? Oh, because Jesus has changed my life and church is a place I can express that. Oh, didn't know that. Carry on working. Just that openness of heart that comes out of Christ's love that compels us to go beyond our walls. And every single one of us goes beyond these walls every single day. Let's pray. So maybe a challenge for us, first of all, is just to acknowledge that, Lord, forgive us that we find it too easy to be comfortable. And even the compelling word is a bit hard. We didn't even come in this morning to be made uncomfortable. Or to have somebody, as gently as he can, kick us up the butt to be the kind of person God longs for us to be. Lord, forgive us that we find it to be at ease in Christianity, at ease in our salvation. Thank you for the challenge and the example of Paul who loves all that, and yet there's this heart to tell others because it's such a good news message. Lord, forgive us. But Lord, also renew us. Give us a heart to show your love to others, whether it's a word of grace, whether it's a word of peace, or whether it's an attitude of patience, of kindness, to be your love, Lord, in a world that is desperate to experience your love. Help us to be your love beyond these walls. And Lord, whether you give us those opportunities to let people know something about you, even if it's one simple sentence. Holy Spirit, do that in us. Lord, make us love sharers, but also truth speakers in loving ways. Lord, write this verse in our hearts that we will do all things possible. We'll become all things to all men, so we may save some. Lord, as a church, together, in our outreach activities, whether it's Alpha or Christianity Explored, whether it's a family fun day or a Saturday music night, Lord, as together as a church, Lord, let us see people coming to know you and discover the love that we've discovered in you. Lord, give us a heart for our neighbours. Lord, the kind of discipline that Paul spoke about when he said, I'll beat my body so I won't be disqualified for the prize. Give us that willingness to just walk across the room, to willingness to go the extra mile. Lord, make us this kind of people. God forbid us to be comfortable, stressless in Zion, in your kingdom, when people need to know about you. And Lord, we give ourselves to this as a church. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.